Coach, it's now at the end of the year. Are you getting, I guess, everyone more on the same page offensively since the adjustment now? It seems like the point production has certainly been better down the stretch.
Well, for sure. You know, you go through the whole season and how to feature the guys in the very best way. So no doubt about that after, you know, the entire year of you know, coaches, players, everybody, and featuring them the ways that we can. Yeah, definitely feel like we're in sync and on the same page. As far as the scoring goes, yeah, it's not you know, certainly where it was, but we are, you know, pumped about some of the things that we are doing. I feel like we've made some strides on third down. That was a big area for us. So we got plenty of work to do, and you know, especially this week.
Hey, Dan, Jay Ajayi has, in his game with the Dolphins earlier, had more yards against you than any other back this year. What did he do well that day, and how's he being used with the Eagles that's different?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I thought on that day, you guys have seen him now and covered him for, you know, I guess, half the year. He's got excellent change of direction. So we've lost some leverage on some tackles where he was able to extend some plays, and definitely give credit to him. He's definitely a guy you know, that we got our respect for. And I thought as they featured him into, you know, into the offense, I think it's an impressive job by the staff there. To, it's not as easy as you may think to put a guy into the mix in the early part of the year and how to feature him. And he certainly looks like he has the full complement of things in the offense based on that he plays on all downs and in lots of situations. So, yeah, he definitely had a good day you know, down here in Atlanta way back early in the year.
Dan, over the last few weeks, we've seen the good from Nick Foles and the bad. How do you prepare for him, and what kind of quarterback do you expect to see on Saturday?
Well, just knowing, you know, the competitor he is and, you know, his experience, you know, as a quarterback, that really lends a hand. And, you know, it's kind of like the old Marv Levy line. You don't have depth. You don't need it, or it doesn't matter till you need it. And so they've got a real capable man, you know, leading the way. We know he's really comfortable in that setting and that offense based on his time, not only in Philly and Kansas City and, you know, certainly through some of the stuff with Chip. So he's definitely a guy that our players regard in how he plays. And from as far as a team standpoint, you know, it looks like from our watching that most things stay similar and are not different. Sometimes that's the case when a new quarterback comes in, but it certainly feels like in this instance, they have a guy who's able to handle all the, you know, requirements of the job within the offense. So we're kind of expecting status quo, and that's how we're preparing.
Dan, the one thing Foles doesn't bring to the table compared to Wentz is the ability to extend plays, the escapability. How does that impact on your preparation as a defense for him?
Yeah, for sure. It's a legit point. And when you watch, you know, go through all the games, and there were definitely some plays where Carson really made an impact. You know, although we faced him last year, he's a stronger runner than I even thought. You know, going back and through and looking at that this year, I don't know if that was a big, you know, area of emphasis during the offseason, but he looked even stronger and more explosive getting out of the pocket. As a defense, we call those plays plaster plays where, you know, the play started one way, and then now the second play just began. And like most teams, you know, when it gets outside the pocket, what takes place then, that doesn't change. You know, regardless of who the quarterback is, your rules and your principles stay consistent. It may not come up as much, but the philosophy of how you do it stays pretty consistent, you know, regardless of the quarterback. So I recognize the question on it. And if they do end up have plays that just, you know, get off the spot and the quarterback gets running, you better be equipped to, you know, change defense and adjust your coverage accordingly.
Dan, the Eagles run a lot of run-pass option plays. I'm sure you've seen them increasingly around the rest of the league. Well, you know, what's your message to your defensive players of how to defend them? What's the best way to handle those?
Yeah, you're right. It is getting more prevalent. And it was probably something that we've seen, you know, through the college ranks, you know, for the last few years. And then now with some guys who are really equipped to handle that, and we even do some as well on our own offense. So a lot of it depends on the look. And so we just want to make sure we can really trust and read our keys. And when you stick to that part defensively, to play in your fundamentals, trusting your keys, that goes a long way. we've had more success playing our technique really soundly, really solidly, than having to change a whole lot of things based on an opponent's team. So that's kind of where we lie into it. But they really understand it. The offense, you can see, clearly has a good vision of how to do that. And some of it is dictated by the coverage that's played. So sometimes as a defense, no different from Jim or us here, you know, certain looks defensively are better suited for it than others. So we'll just have to do a good mix of utilizing both. They certainly don't use it every play, and neither do we have some of the coverages for that. But I think that's it's a good question. One for us, we're really going to stay committed to our keys. And when those ops come, we've got to make sure we nail those plays.
In the game last year,
when you were going through the playoffs last year, you know, it was your second season, kind of like what Doug's in now. Like, how did you kind of, you know, get your guys to believe that not only could you make the playoffs, but, like, you know, win games and end up getting to the Super Bowl? Like, how did you go about doing that as a relatively new coach?
Well, we really tried to stay consistent about leaving the Super Bowl or the NFC Championship down the line, and just tried to just throw everything we could at the game that was at hand. We knew for us last year we were had a home playoff game against Seattle, and we certainly weren't going to look past them to whoever the NFC Championship opponent would be. So we just tried to stay kind of in the moment for our team, and I'm sure for Doug and the guys too. We have a real process that we go through to get ready, and when you felt yourself looking too far down the line or too far ahead, we just tried to stay back to the moment of what was important right now. And so that's where we did it, and then we kind of did the same thing in the championship game. We didn't want to look ahead, hey, if we win this one, we're there. We just tried to stay in the moment of that week, that game, and that worked well for us, you know, in that mindset. We didn't try to look too far down the line, I guess.
What did you find was the biggest challenge heading into the playoffs for the first time as a head coach?
I would say, like, the amount of noise that's outside the walls, and knowing that everybody's got an opinion. The more you're in the playoffs, the less other teams play, and sometimes really that other teams call you, or, you know, a player or a coach, hey, this may mean this, you ought to think about that. And so it's like, I thought really important to stay true and consistent to how you play, because as there's less teams that play, it seemed that more people had an opinion of how to defend somebody or how to guard somebody. And we just wanted to make sure we were going to do what we thought was best. We knew our team best. And I thought, you know, making sure you didn't allow the outside influences to affect the things inside the building in your preparation. And I thought that was at least how our team tried to approach it last year, to make sure we were real consistent about, you know, make them get right back to us and our process, not how anybody else would play somebody.
In the game you guys played up here last year, the Eagles got you in a lot of third and long situations. What did they do on the early downs that was so effective?
They got us in a lot of everything down in distances. Yeah, it was painful to watch for sure. And I felt like, you know, when we went through that game, we definitely give them the credit and played terrifically. And we didn't give them our best version of ourselves. And so that was disappointing in the game. But, you know, by no disrespect to them, they certainly played better, coached better. That game was certainly some of our lows. Anytime you're playing and you get way behind in the chains, it makes it really difficult. It makes it especially difficult when you have rushers that can really get up the field, which the Eagles do. And I thought in this game, like last year, both sides of the line of scrimmage for them really played well.
Dan, to follow up on your note about not changing what you do, you know, Doug and Frank have both pointed out how, you know, your defense is what it is. You don't trick things up. You go out there and you have essentially, you know, a cover three zone or a single high man. But in reference to the cover three, how important is it to have cornerbacks that you have now to execute that scheme? And certainly you had it in Seattle with, you know, with those guys. Is that what makes that system work, you know, so effectively?
Yeah, it's, I'd say, a combination of things. And much like Doug and Frank and the guys, when you have a system that you're really committed to, you kind of know how to feature the guys in. So we are, you know, fundamental in what we do, and we just try to make sure, you know, when we play a lot of the same things, that we're able to play some plays and have some awareness to some things that of how people may try to attack you. For us, having the ability when you play three deep, you guys know that's a chance for teams a lot of times where they would try to take some shots down the field on some singled up coverages. So when you have guys outside that can really stay on top and run, it is really important part of the system. So yeah, you're right on target in terms of when you play a bunch of three deep and man to man, you better be able to hold up outside, and especially when you face receivers like the Eagles have who can get down the field, and that's an important part of it. So when you, anytime you put a system in, it takes a while to get it implemented, and for us defensively, I think we're starting to hit those strides of what we can do and how to feature the guys in the best way. But no doubt about it, from pass rushing and corners and linebackers that can run, those are real you know, tenets to how we'd like to play and pillars of the way we want to play defense.
Dan, you in talking about, as you mentioned before, keeping things the same versus changing things up, on the one hand, you can see how you want to keep things the same over the course of a week, but within the game, certain situations may present themselves that might force you to do things you wouldn't normally do if the game were in a single elimination game.
Are you talking like regarding like philosophy, or
I'm talking kind of within everything. I mean, on the one hand, it is a single elimination game where if you lose, you go home, yeah. You know. But on the other hand, you don't want to present an image of panic or change for change's sake. How do you kind of balance that?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying now. Well, I think like in any game, there's like some contingency plans to, you know, like to win this game, like you either put out or you get out. So there's, of course, some contingencies. Hey, if this happens, we need to go be able to, you know, have the next part of the plan in place. So I recognize what you're saying there. I guess what my comment about staying consistent is we have a real style about how we like to play. You know, offensively, defensively, on team. So we're going to stay with that style, although within the game, you're 100% right. There are definitely things that you have to do based on the opponent to win the game. Oftentimes, those have to do with matchups. You know, okay, sometimes it's a tight end, other times a running back, other times it's a pass rusher. You know what I mean by that? Like, how do you make sure that you're going to be able to utilize your system and still play, you know, at your best to make the matchup in your favor as opposed to the other way.
Right. And how does that apply to things maybe not so integral to the game? For instance, your interactions with the players during practice over the course of the week, your interactions with the media, those sorts of things.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, good. Well, we do try to make those parts stay really familiar. And I'm talking about the interaction with the players, the routine to get ready to play, the process, the game planning, like, as a performer, which the players are, we wanted to make sure their routine stays really consistent, really ready. Now, within each week, there's some small adjustments that you want to make in the game plan based on the opponent, based on the situation, could be, you know, a number of reasons. But I would say for us, and that's at least my philosophy, we wanted to make sure for the players, we stayed really consistent to play rock solid each week. We didn't want to necessarily just make one opponent, okay, now we really got to step it up. We're playing this team. We just wanted to bring our preparation back to us. We know how good Philadelphia is, but at the end of the day, it's going to still come down to how we execute, how we play. So we did try to stay consistent to that, non-game plan specific. I get where you're headed.
Hey, Dan, how strange is it for you to be the sixth seed and be the favorite against the one seed, and you can't help but notice that, right? And what is that like?
You know what? I notice being the 60 because we're traveling. But you know where maybe you guys feel differently. I certainly do. When you play in the playoffs, and you know how you play a division game, you just kind of throw any whatever, you know, numbers out, stats out, you know, ranking, whatever that stuff, because it's just going to be a battle for that game. And I do love that format. So as far as points or favored, like, that's the furthest thing from anything that we talk about. We just talk about the matchup for the game. And it's nothing that we talk about as players or coaches in any way. That when you step inside the white, none of that stuff really has any bearing on it. So we just try to get locked in on who we're playing, how we want to play, and make sure, like, our style comes across. But Yeah, make no mistake. We know we're heading on the road into a really cool place for football.